Welcome back to the Hard Ball Gets. Unfortunately, yesterday we could not do the episode. This is the Loose Ballers edition on a Wednesday, election day over in the States. I've got no idea what's happening. All I can say is it is Sleepy Joe v. the Orange Man. Who knows who is going to win that? But on this edition of the Loose Ballers with Dill Buckley and myself, we just talk about the trades that have gone through. Free agency, is it worth it? Is it not worth it? I particularly don't understand the formula. I don't think it needs to be there, but we go into a bit of depth there. Look at the trades, and Dill comes up with a brainy idea that we put our footy managers' hats on and try and sort out a trade that is acceptable for Saad and Carlton, but also Jeremy Cameron and Geelong. Enjoy the podcast. Have a lovely night, and we look forward to hearing from you next. Goodbye. Welcome, the Melbourneite, Dill Buckley. How are you going, mate? You're surviving the fresh air and the oxygen and getting out and enjoying your livelihood again?
Mate, I am. And look, I'm actually quite keen for another lockdown, to be honest.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Went pretty hard for the 4 days, and now I am now regretting it. I feel like shit. And I was just saying before, you know, when you've had a big weekend, the one telltale sign of if you're really struggling is if you go into a big grocery shop on like the Monday or the Tuesday because you feel like, nah, if I go and eat healthy, I'll be okay. So that's what I did today, just to let you know where I was at.
Mate, if Andrew Russell, our fitness coach, used to say you got 14 days. If you're injured and you don't do anything for 14 days, you'll survive. You know, your fitness should stay the same. You've detrained for 6 months on the nights out, the afternoons out with lockdown. Understandable, you've been hungover. You've lost all touch with, you know, the normal routine and rhythms of enjoying life. But you should be back into it pretty soon, which is good to know and good to hear.
I'll be back.
Hey, mate, we won't keep you long today. I have got to race home because I've got a new kid, mate, and it is a shit show.
Congratulations.
No, thank you. Thank you very much.
Mate, it's beautiful. And I love the name too. I saw, obviously, I'd actually had a few beers when you put up the post, as I said on the weekend. I couldn't have been happier for you. And Em, and hope she's going well. I'm sure she is because she's a trooper and she's an absolute superstar of a woman. But my favourite part of the whole birth was your post that you put up saying the new name of your son, Albert.
Yeah.
Albie, and saying how much your dad hated it.
Yes. Yeah, mate.
Is that true?
No, he thinks, honestly, so Jeffrey is his middle name, and no one's ever going to be called Jeffrey ever again.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, so his middle name's Jeffrey, and he will,
So it was actually the middle name he was talking about, not the first name.
Yeah, middle names. No, so he thinks the first name's shit house, and it should be the second name. But
I love
like
it.
No, he's joking, but he's lucky that Jeffrey's there. He came across with a bit of a play to try and get Jeffrey as the sole first name. I was like, Dad, this kid with Jeffrey as the middle name will be doing taekwondo classes at the age of 2. He's going to be bullied, the poor prick, because no one likes the name Jeffrey. It'll be extinct in 30 years. But anyway, the name's there, and he was in neonatal for a little while. I'll tell you what, that is bloody hectic stuff still down there. So neonatal, that's like the emergency ward for newborns. And so we went down there, and our boy was a bit of a monster. He was 4.1 or something kilos. There's kids in there that are like 1.5 kilos, like tiny little buggers. Anyway, one sort of flatlined and had to be put on a ventilator right next to me. So I was the only parent in this tiny room, five sick kids, one spare bed in case there's an emergency. This kid's in there. They're ventilating him. They're using like oxygen thing to sort of like resuscitate. You know, we use bags, you know, those air bags. They were using like this tiny little sort of pen instrument and just like punching little tufts of air into this little kid. Got him on the ventilator and got the oxygen into him but did not raise a sweat once. Whereas I was sitting there, and whilst all that happened, little Albert done his first ever shit, and it went all over the bloody wires and drips and everything. And I was like, oh my God, there's a kid there getting put on a ventilator. My kid's rolling around in poo. I don't know what to do. Anyway. They saved that kid's life. Unbelievable how obviously
they're superstars,
aren't they, mate? Not once did they look like they were in like urgent. You know that composure. You see good footballers. Scott Pendlebury. They're Scott Pendlebury's. Yeah. They just loaf in, loaf out, and do it at the absolute highest level. But
it's fair to say you and I would never be working in one of those wards,
mate. I did med science as a subject at school in year 10. And I think they passed me and said, look, we'll give you the P if you just never come back to this subject. So that's how bad I was at that sort of stuff. But, mate, the composure, all shout out to St. John of God, all the midwives and nurses, but goodness me, those neonatal. Absolutely incredible, mate. Obviously, we're right in the thick of trade and free agency period. Let's touch on that because, as I said, we can't stay too long today with obvious needs of myself and you've got a dinner to get to, and I appreciate you staying around late to get this done, obviously, over East. Hey, what do you make of free agency?
Mate, I honestly do not understand it at all. Like, I really don't get it. Like, I always say, you know, obviously – Danaher went through with Brisbane, which I think is unbelievable trade. I've absolutely loved that one. And they get pick 7. So, I think that's definitely worth it for Joe, and I think that's fair both ways. But then you see, like, Adelaide are asking pick 2 for Brad Couch. And I was like, how does this work? How does this actually work itself out? Because I don't get how a club can ask for pick 2 for Brad Crouch.
So I think it all goes along. They've got a formula, and it all falls into – so, you know, when you get a star player or, you know, a good player or whatever – a good player moving to another club who they think they're a star, it all adds up in terms of what their financials are, what their years are on that contract, and it's averaged out over that entire period of time. But and someone wrote it on Twitter to us the other day, so I'm sick of numbskulls like me, Ryan Daniels and Nick Rinn, for talking about the formula. And we get it. I get it's fair. The formula sits the same for everyone. But you're right, no way in the world should – for example, Chip Frawley get picked 2 or 3, whatever it was, and we got Buddy Franklin, who netted us pick 19. Like, I honestly think that just scrap any compensation. Scrap it. If you aren't good enough to sign your player that you've had on your list for 8 years, if you can't nail that and create an environment where a player wants to stay, stiff titties, out, and you just save yourself in the salary cap, $700,000 or whatever Joe Danaher was asking for. And if you're a good club, go find someone worth $700,000 to play in that role. But I feel for the club, for example, who were one pick behind Essendon. So not only they
dropped
a pick
8. That's what I mean. Yeah. How can you just create a pick out of nowhere and just push everyone back
one?
It's just weird.
I don't like it. Because, like, imagine if, say, for example, who finished on the bottom? Adelaide. So imagine if Adelaide they lost their best player. I don't even know who their best player would be. But say, for example, they lost their best player to free agency and it ended up being pick 2. I mean, like, if the draft is one of those top-end drafts, and I love the NBA and whatnot, some of these drafts are absolute, you know, mega-changing stars in pick 1 and 2. Imagine if you've got pick 2 traditionally in North Melbourne or whoever it is, and they fall back to 3 and you miss the play. I just don't like the fact that these picks just pop up and they go, oh, yeah, years, money, age, yeah, bang, you equal, you know, a first-round compensation. I just think scrap the compensation. If you're not good enough to keep your player on the list, haven't been able to do it over 8 or 10, 12, 15 years, whatever it is, bad luck, he's out. He's gone. You don't get any compensation. The compensation is you find salary cap room to go buy someone else. Pretty simple stuff in my eyes.
Yep. No, I like it. And then even with that as well, it just forces them to get a trade happening quicker as well. Like, I get you can lose someone for nothing, but I like the fact that when they say no to these free agency things and they match the bid, well, why, you know, what's the point of it? Just match it straight away or let them go straight away. Make your mind up with what it is.
Oh, I love that the teams are matching, and we're going to get to in a little bit of time. Saad and Jeremy Cameron, we're going to sort of pick a club each and see what we'd need to get that deal done. But, mate, I love the fact that GWS matched Geelong's bid just to say, nah, you're not walking over us. We don't believe that whatever pick that we're going to get compensation's good enough. It is a little bit like the Buddy Franklin one, for example. If Hawthorn had matched that mega, mega contract, which no way they would have, but say they did trade, they would have earned more than a first round draft pick for Buddy Franklin, pick 19. But the contract they couldn't match. Whereas the Giants can match it. Why not? Sorry, Jez. He'll end up at Geelong, I'm sure, but it'll take some time to get through it. And I actually love that they've matched it.
Yeah, same. I love it too. And I think it probably went for a period where all the favour was in the club's hands, and then it went to the players, had all the power, and now it's sort of finding a happy medium in there somewhere that it's going to be. I wouldn't be surprised next year, or in the next, you know, 2 to 3 to 5 years, if it just does get to that stage of US and they just go, you know what, Zave, you are not required anymore, but we're trading you somewhere else without you even having to really say.
The consent, the contracts, more and more the contracts are equaling less and less official, legally binding deals, don't they? It's incredible. I would have been shipped off about 10 times back in the day, so I'm glad that, imagine that, coming home, and you see it in America as the election's on, and we're talking about America a little bit, but mate, they're moving from one side of the country and they've got like 3 days to do it. Imagine that sort of being your lifestyle where you're out of a suitcase for so long.
Yeah, it's hectic. Honestly, I'm not going to comment on the election because I don't even know what's going on in my own country, let alone in the US.
Mate, well, I've been watching it all day. I'm absolutely bloody locked at it. At the moment, it's 210 to 220, target 270. Yeah, I've been watching it and I don't know how those two people, and like, don't get me wrong, I've got no idea, but how are those two people the best representatives of what they argue is the most powerful country in the world?
Mate, they're
one,
too old.
Sleepy Joe and Orange Don, mate. They're fools. But anyway, they're into it. They both think they're the winners. I fear that the Orange Man might continue on the way, but anyway, that's our political wrap on that one. Just a couple of trades, mate, that went through. We'll just quickly go to your old mob, GWS. Zach,
yep.
Williams picked 10 as compensation. No way that was ever going to be matched or anything like that. You think he's a star in the making, a superstar in the making. Well, he's paid to be a superstar now at about 900 a year. So time will tell, but you're looking forward to seeing him in the Blue Baggers.
I genuinely think Zach Williams is one of the best players I've ever played with. Like, I'm not saying that in any terms at all, but when the shit hit the fan at the Giants, the one move they did was put Zach into the midfield.
Yeah.
The only question is, can he run out a whole game in the midfield yet? I don't know. But, for example, and you'd know this, Dave, you know how there's those guys that come last in every single preseason and they never win 2K? Like, Zach would never be in the top 10, 20, 30 in a 2K time trial. But I'll tell you he comes in round one and it does not matter. It just does not matter.
But does he train hard?
He trains so hard. On the track, he trains very hard. When he came back, so you might remember when he came back from the Achilles injury he had in, I think it was 2018, early 2018. Might have been 2017 preseason. It was when I first got there. Long story short, they get back and they win that incredible final at the SCG and they beat the Swans by 40, 50 odd points. Anyway, he had not played a game all year. He played one game of NEFL coming into that of 50%, came in on that and he was best on ground. And for someone that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. This guy is a seriously good player. And the only thing I hope that, you know, doesn't get into his head is just people saying he's on too much money because he does deserve it.
Yeah, no, I look forward to seeing the output. The only thing I say with the money stuff, I'll never begrudge someone for earning what they earn, but if you're at that top end in that superstar category, like, you got to win a game or two off your own boot. So
100%.
That'll be interesting. Aiden Coy, I reckon this is a good one for Giants. Pick 30 for him, but people forget Sam Taylor. I reckon Sam Taylor is a potential young star at the Giants anyway, who obviously missed a large portion of the year with some really bloody weird disease thing he picked up. But I reckon Aiden Coy out, pick 30, no dramas.
No, look, I think the Giants were very disappointed in it because they probably saw, you know, Phil's, you know, 32 now. He probably has, you know, 1 or 2 years left in the system. They probably thought, look, he's the next sort of centre half back, whereas Sam Taylor, as you said, mate, a good Western Australian boy, is honestly one of the better defenders I've ever seen. He's one of those guys where you just say, mate, lock onto this guy and do not give him an inch, and he will not let them. Jez Cameron reckons he's the toughest defender he's played on.
I used to coach Sam Taylor at under 18 level, and him and Norton. So Norton was the other under 18 star over here. Now they were neck and neck. I think probably they were drafted maybe Norton a fraction in front of Sam Taylor, but it was a toss of the coin the whole way. And one thing I don't think we've seen yet of Sam Taylor is his marking ability. Like, his marking ability was equal to Norton's marking ability in the under 18 level. So. I'm high on Sam Taylor, so hopefully he gets back in a bit of consistency. But to be locking down full back in that grand final year that you guys had at the age of 19, that's sort of one of the stories that you don't really – if you guys win, it's another chapter to the story where you speak about, oh, there's a 19-year-old at full back, that's incredible. But you lose and then he's missed a season and we've sort of forgotten about Sam Taylor. So watch this space on Sam Taylor. Last one in terms of the trades, mate, Jesse Hogan almost – a wipe your hands clean from Frio, pick 54, which GWS got from the Langdon from West Coast. And then they ship 54 back to Frio for Hogan. That's obviously signs that Jeremy Cameron, a deal's probably going to get done there anyway with, you know, bringing in another key forward straight away. It would be nice to see Hogan and Cameron as a forward line if it did last, but not a big risk, I don't think, for the Giants. What's it like moving up there, mate? I know he's what's that word he's looking for to be hidden? Anonymity. Yeah, anonymity. In Sydney.
It's a big word.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is. I don't know what it is, but I like it. It sounds real smart.
So
it's one of those words, I can't define it, but I know that it fits in.
Yeah, yeah. It just sounded right.
And it just sounded right. You said it with confidence.
Yeah. So like he's at the bar at the Cot Hotel in Perth, recognised. Yes, people are probably keeping an eye on him.
Yes.
In Sydney, you can go to a bar and no one will know him from Arthur. So, 100%. You know, moving to a rugby state, I think they've called it. How do you think that's going to play out?
Mate, I don't know Jesse, and from all reports, he's a really good bloke, and I know he's copped a bit of flack for a few things in the media, but I'm really excited for this move for him going to the Giants, because like you said, you do go to Sydney, and it's just like a weight off your shoulders. I was never a big name, and you just walk there and you just go, shit, like this is great. No one knows who I am here. Not that you're not going to go do anything stupid, but you can just go and be yourself and literally just all the stress goes down and is just playing footy. Yeah. And realistically as well, imagine Josh Kelly, Lachie Whitfield, Toby Green, these guys playing with him. They're all the same age. I think it will go really well. I don't think it's going to be as big impact, and he's not the same player as Jez Cameron, but it might work really well. You look at guys like Jake Riccardi and Harry Himmelberg as well, playing down that forward line, Jez Finlayson as well. He might not even be a walk-up start. Like, I don't know. I'm not saying he won't, but like it's crazy.
At his peak, if he does get his shit together and fitness and all that sort of stuff, he would be that number one forward in that team with Toby.
Yeah, yeah.
With Toby's obviously out of the conversation because I think he's almost nearly the best player in the competition in that Dusty Martin sort of mold of forward mid. But yeah, no, if he's fit and the Melbourne days, the Great White Hope, all that sort of stuff. But I mean, Fremantle to cut ties for pick 54 is obviously disappointing because they invested so much into him, but to say, you know, you're throwing bad money at bad money sort of situation. Right time. Hopefully they shake hands and say that didn't work. And I actually hope Jesse Hogan's gets back to that level of football we saw at Melbourne. And you know, the talk that he could have been the best forward in the competition. At the moment, he wouldn't be in the top 50 forwards in the competition. But, you know, potentially, hopefully, he can get back to that level. And that might just be you save money, you lose Cameron, you save a bucket load of money. He's not paid as much as what you think. A lot of incentives in there. Maybe that opens up the room for Giants to do something else as well.
No, I think you're right. Can't believe I even said that he would not play in that team. That is an absolute stupidity. I just remembered how good Jesse Hogan is then. I regret that. I take that back. I think I had this thought for like one minute that I was like,
Josh, edit it.
I think I thought for one minute I was like just this full like analysis, like analytic, like money ball person. Then I was just like, hang on, you know who Jesse Hogan is. He's actually a very good player. He's easily going to play in that team.
You're comparing him to Daniel Ricciardo's brother, Riccardi.
That's it.
Don't get me wrong, it was a good story.
Thanks.
But I mean, Hogan's kicked 50 and 60 in AFL season. On end for a while.
Yeah, let's move on. Let's move on. Jesse Hogan's winning the Coleman in 2021. I'm putting it on my balls. Balls are on the line now. Jesse Hogan wins the 2021 Coleman medal. You've heard it here first. He's gone from not getting a game to winning the 2021 Coleman.
Don't you too? So, like, I made a comment about Fantasia going to Port Adelaide, and I said, I believe next year, if he's fit and healthy, he could be the best small forward in the competition. When you think about it, you know, there's no Cyril, there's no Eddie Betts in terms of Eddie Betts, the great, you know, small forward. He's still pop up and kid goal. Dan Butler was the measuring stick this year, I thought, as a small forward. You know what I mean? And he was good, but it's not a high level watermark, is it really? Like Dan Butler was almost, he walked out of Richmond to the Saints. So, and I've got to obviously get on Twitter, oh, mate, congratulations on the new one, but you must be pissed. Well, what do you mean? You know, when you make a comment and then they like,
I stay off Twitter.
You've thought about your comment. Like we randomly just brought up Jesse Hogan. You made a comment. Yeah. You didn't think 1 second about it. But now people listen to it and go, oh,
he's thought about that for the last 6 months.
and that's his opinion. Man, how's this bloke even bloody saying anything? And maybe Fantasia won't be the best small forward in the competition next year. But we're not up against a hell of a lot. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. And potentially at Port Adelaide, he might be all right.
How about that then for a topic next week? I really like this one in terms of hidden gems at other clubs that can be like big players at new clubs.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Dan Butler was at the Tigers. Like, he'd probably be the first person to say he wasn't in career best form. but yeah. you know, gets a new lease on life, goes to the Saints, is nearly an All-Australian. Yeah. Let's have a think next week who we would want to see that's either not in the best 22 or just hanging on in the best 22 that would be good at another club.
Well, there's one already off the top of my head, and I know West Coast have started initiating conversations with Alex Witherden from the Brisbane Lions.
Like, huge. I love that.
In and out. Mate, just give up your second round or whatever you got, West Coast, because I went through his stats. He had games, we had like a 6-week patch.
Beautiful when he was playing,
31 disposals, 30 disposals, 28, yeah. Like, finds the pill, that sort of player. All right, let's do that next week. Let's come with yep. 4 or 5 each. All right, let's go on, mate. We've got to wrap up in a little bit. Let's look at the Saad to Carlton situation. Now, you propose that we do something here. How do you see it playing out, mate?
Now, look, I don't know what the official picks are because they keep moving around and whatnot, but
yeah,
I am happy to part with the pick 7 or 8 or whatever it is that Carlton have.
Yeah.
Because I do think Saad is a genuine superstar, but I want back another high pick and Saad. So I think that that's what's going to happen, basically. I think that they'll get Saad and then they'll get back like a pick 26 or 25 or 24. I'm not sure else what it is. So if they can work that into the mix, I'd love that pick. And obviously you being Essendon's list manager, what are you going to say?
Well, so obviously pick 7, I'd be absolutely licking my lips. As a direct swap, Saad and pick 7, I'd jump at that in a heartbeat.
100.
And I know now you're asking for probably a second rounder back. And a lot is to play out in terms of, so if you pick up pick 7 from Carlton, which is now pick 8, would it be, because they've already got 7 from Joe, I'd be saying, okay, let's deal. Maybe I give you 25, but what would it they've obviously got salary cap room now because, as we've spoken about earlier in the podcast, Joe Danaher's gone. So you've got to have money stashed away for that. You've had money stashed away for Saad. You've had money stashed away for Fantasia. I would say I'll give you 25. I wouldn't mind taking a punt on McGovern. That helps you out. You want him off your books anyway. You want him off your books. You've obviously signed him for a truckload of money. You saw potential at Adelaide. I don't think he's been fit at Carlton. I don't think he's he got sent into Fat Club, Fat Farm, banned from training with the team. Mm. I don't think he's had a good run up at it. I'd say, righto, you give us 7, Mitch McGovern, and we'll give you the 25.
Wow.
You want McGovern off the books.
Yeah, but
you do.
McGovern's worth more than a second round pick still. Like, you can't. They've invested into him now. That would, I feel like McGovern actually could play some really good footy when Charlie Curnow's in the team. Like, if Charlie Curnow's playing, McGovern then gets the third player, and that's what he did at Adelaide. He was the third forward. He's never been a first or second forward or defender.
Yeah. Jenkins, Walker, then McGovern. Yeah.
Look, so no. I'm going to have to politely decline that.
Okay.
But, yeah, we probably didn't think of an actual solution of this, did we?
Nah. So that's my proposal next week when it's still going. I'll come back with it.
Because I've got actually someone else that I want to chuck into the deal. So I want to think about how I might bring them in.
I honestly reckon that Carlton would trade McGovern for pick 25.
I reckon
they would mind a divorce from that contract.
I don't think Essendon wouldn't want that.
No, but at least they got coin and they can go, well, like, you know, one of those ones where it's like an expiring contract. You're like, okay, come over. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, we just don't give you another one. All right, so we haven't got a conclusion to that, but at least you thought about it. I didn't mind my proposal on return.
I didn't mind it.
You didn't mind it. Okay, well, now what's the next one you want to do? We got one other one.
So the other one is I am the Giants. Here I've got Jeremy Cameron, 2019 Coleman medalist, one of the best players in the league. Don't forget that. And you are Geelong. What are you giving me?
At the moment, I was hoping it was going to be a free agent, free hit.
Yeah, I just matched it.
I got cash. Okay. Well, this is a big one. Now, Radicalea is on the table.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, I would give you my first rounder. So what's that? It'd be pick 10 from Tim Kelly or something around that mark from Kelly. I'll give you my first rounder and I'll give you Asava Radigalia for Jeremy Cameron.
Okay, so let me know when you get serious about that trade and we can actually start communicating. For Jeremy Cameron, you're asking Jeremy Cameron, and I know you've got salary cap issues. It's obvious that you've got salary cap issues. Am I wrong?
Well, so do you. So do you. So you can't keep him.
No, I don't. I don't have salary cap because we've just lost Jezza. So I've got some money there. So
but he's coming back.
No, he's definitely gone. We're going to come to an issue because you're going to accept this. I want your first rounder and I want Sam Menegola.
Shit, I reckon they'd do that. I think they'd rather let Sam Menegola go before Radigalia because they've just picked up Isaac Smith.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Smith. Well, so they've got it. Smith goes into Menegola's spot and they just say, okay, we're slightly downgraded on age. Deal. Done. Pleasure. Send him over. Do I fly up and get him or how do I get Jez down to the Cattery?
No, that's fine. I'm happy. Let's just, we'll both pay for each other's flights and then it's done.
So first round draft pick and Menegola for Jeremy Cameron. I reckon that would almost get it done.
Yep. I like it.
Okay. All right. And what sort of role is Menegola going to play at GWS?
Well, I feel like then you've got literally, you know, your two pure wingmen there in Menegola and Whitfield, and then Josh Kelly can then just purely play inside now. Well, Menegola can also play inside too. So maybe it is your 50-50. Yeah. You've got Kelly and Menegola chopping out on the, you know, wing center bounce.
Yeah. Okay. No, I don't mind it, and I was happy to part ways with Radigalia, which you thought was a joke.
Well, if we've got – no, I didn't mind the Radigalia, but if I've already got Jesse Hogan, I probably don't need another tool now.
Well, I'm thinking is that I could chop out Ruckman for you, you know, the second ruck,
play forward. Maybe I should go back. List managers don't get enough credit. It's actually quite hard to do, especially when you have not thought about it at all.
Mate, I'm taking it when you think on the spot who you got to give away. I think the issue with the Giants is the spot that needs to be filled. Obviously you get Hogan, but the ruck role, like I just would love to see Taranto, Hopper, Kelly, Whitfield at times, Canelio, all have a decent. And I know Sam Jacobs and Big Mummy were serviceable, but weren't peak time. I'd love to see that a big ruckman get there and give him first use. Imagine if they had like a Max Gorn or something on the books.
Yeah, Max Gorn would be good. But I think realistically, if you could pick if Giants could pick anyone out of this year's trade period that's not even up for trade and would never be, I'd be going for Rowan Marshall.
Rowan Marshall.
For the Giants. That's the number one. I would be going, putting all my money into Rowan Marshall. If you know, and I'm sure they've asked the question, but if I was Saints, I wouldn't be getting rid of him either. But that's who the Giants should be going for, I reckon.
Okay. Well, I don't mind it, mate. Well, Dil, I reckon we wrap it up right there now.
I'm actually more confused after that than, you know, I don't even know what to say.
No, so you just sent me Jeremy Cameron for a first rounder and Menegola. And
I don't mind that. I think it's good.
Menegola, mate, it'll be his fourth club.
Yeah, I know. He's a journeyman.
But I'm big on Menegola. I thought he was going to come second in the Brownlow and hardly polled. So, all right, mate, you have to love you and leave you. Get to your sister's house in Elwood for a feed. I've got to go and man the ship at home with a couple of little monsters and enjoy your evening, mate.
Mate, congratulations again. Send my love to Em. Send my love to Ted and Albie and look forward to getting over to WA and seeing you all soon.
Thanks again for joining us on the Loose Ballers edition of the Hard Ball Gets. Of course, tune in tomorrow. A game we have the 2-minute warning happening. Of course, if you haven't rated or subscribed to this podcast, please do so. Give it the 5-star rating, write a little review if you feel like you want to, and all will be good amongst us. Please enjoy your evening and be safe. Cheers.